Welcome, everybody, to the Vonage Solutions podcast series. Today, we're going to be addressing call center and contact center and the couple of different flavors that Vonage offers within that sector. These podcasts are being hosted by Vonage Business in conjunction with independent industry consultants that are Vonage Business subject matter experts. And this podcast will be an interactive dialogue between Vonage experts and our independent consultant partners on specific market solutions and or technology topics. I mentioned today is going to be focused on call center and contact center, and specifically on the couple different flavors that Vonage Business offers and what those key differentiators and key feature differences are. We're also going to discuss the Vonage customer experience and vision. Where does Vonage see the contact center space going? Today's podcast guests include, from our independent consultant partners, we have Mr. Steve Layden with us today. He's the founder and president of Layden Associates, an independent communications and IT consulting firm. Layden Associates provides specialized support to enterprises in unified communications, contact centers, and cloud-based architectures. Steve is a frequent speaker at national trade shows, including Enterprise Connect, BC Summit, Information Week, National Vendor and User Conferences, as well as a contributor and blogger for No Jitter, a recognized BC Strategies expert, and contributor to BC Strategies Weekly via podcasts and posts. Also with us today is Mr. Scott Sachs, who's founder and president of SJS Solutions. Scott is a highly accomplished and respected business executive who provides specialized consulting solutions in the areas of customer service and contact and call center operations. Scott's background includes over 25 years leading and growing multi-site contact center operations in highly regulated industries, including insurance, warranty, wireless communications, and financial services. I'm your host and moderator today. My name is Jeff Savage. I'm the Vice President of Enterprise Sales. I've been with Vonage 18 years, which includes focus in cloud-based telephony, contact center, mobility, and network. Today, the addition of CPaaS, workflow and app integration, and AI help lead digital transformation for communications, and I'm excited to continue to be a part of that. Also with us from Vonage Business today is Mr. Coulter Hammer. He's a strategic director for contact center practice. Coulter also served as the head of sales and cloud connectivity engineering, business consulting and implementation partner growth at one of the leading cloud contact center firms, NICE inContact. Also on the line from Vonage Business today is Mr. Jim Graham. He's the enterprise sales engineer for Vonage. Jim has a 20-year background in telecommunications and a specialty in the contact center space. Jim serves Vonage as a subject matter expert on Vonage's advanced contact center offerings, acting as a go-to resource for the Vonage sales teams.
We will start this podcast with Mr. Scott Sachs and his first question. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Jeff. I actually have a two-part question here. The first one is, when I work with my various clients, I find that no two of them have the same needs and requirements. I also understand that Vonage supports two different platforms, the inContact platform and the BroadSoft platform. I'm very interested in hearing the differences between those two platforms. The second question I have is also with my clients, a lot of times they want to work directly with a developer and don't want to work with a third party. What are some of the advantages for one of my clients to work with Vonage instead of the developer themselves?
Jim, we'll have you go first.
Hi, everybody. I think the best way to answer that is to say that Vonage tailors our solutions to meet the specific needs of our clients. So what we see in the contact center space is that some clients, really their contact center needs are met by a lower cost voice-only solution, while other clients have much more sophisticated needs like omni-channel capabilities, email, chat, SMS, and also require deep workflow integration. We've got two offerings to meet those different targeted needs. We're also able to migrate a customer from a voice-only solution to our advanced contact center if their needs change over time. So essentially, these two offerings allow us to meet the client at their current need while helping them control costs and making sure they don't paint themselves into a corner technologically.
Coulter, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. You know, as much as we continue to evolve in the contact center, voice simply remains king. Other channels are becoming increasingly prevalent, but we continue to see a consistent demand for a voice-only option that gives the customer greater flexibility than a traditional PBX with hunt groups and auto-attendant and things like that, otherwise known as bringing in more IVR and advanced skills and cues and things like that. When a customer is looking for more complex contact center needs, we offer those advanced features through our premium provider, which is inContact. We pick the best of breed when it comes to feature, reliability, redundancy, and some continued integration flexibility on the other side. Now, as far as your second question, we see the crossroad between UCaaS and CCaaS, and it's becoming more parallel, where customers are simply looking at both UCaaS and CCaaS at the same time. And the simple answer to that question is customers are asking us for one vendor to work with. So customers look for a single, quote-unquote, throat to choke or hand to shake, depending on what mood you're in, offering a single point of contact or a single triage for support and client relationships. Our customers really know where they need to go every time, and they have a more consistent customer experience regardless of where the issue resides.
Can I ask a follow-up question with regard to this?
Please.
I'd like to ask just a follow-up if there's any, if you can provide maybe any examples where you have helped to customize a solution and provide value as a third party to the basic inContact or BroadSoft solutions.
Absolutely. Really what it comes down to, oftentimes we have customers who are asking for a particular contact, the traditional contact center needs. And what we're seeing more and more is they start to go past the traditional and into, let's say, AI or into wanting a chatbot or some other arena where we have to add a certain amount of value. One of the things that we're currently building right now is the ability to use our CPaaS platform, our Nexmo platform, or the Vonage APIs, in order for us to create, instead of just speech analytics for a customer, we're creating an ability for them to do real-time speech analytics. So where a customer was in the past having to look back at data and being able to look at what the data tells them in the past, we now give them the ability to take more action from a real-time perspective using our CPaaS platform. So we see more and more of customers asking for a small nuance or a tweak to what they have in the traditional contact center, and most of the time we're able to take that CPaaS platform and bring that into the mix.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Jim. I would just add to that. I mean, I think to answer your specific question around, you know, what are some examples of some customers that we worked with, we worked with a national travel provider, a travel agency, and we were able to enhance their communication with their customers. In our due diligence, we noticed that they had negative reviews online around response times and particularly around re-engagement if there was a problem with a flight. So we were then able to engage on their website via chatbots, added SMS integration, and did deep database queries to make sure that the agent who was responding had the information they needed that was specific to that client. So that's an example of some of the solutions that we can bring to the table.
Excellent. Thank you, Jim. Now, I know kind of along those same lines, Mr. Steve Layden, I believe, has some questions around emerging technologies and kind of how they are relating to the contact center. Steve, I'll let you go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. So number one, thanks for putting this podcast together. I think it'll help the consultant community at large as well as the enterprise user community. And I think it'll just be a continuing effort, we as consultants as well as yourself as Vonage, to continue to educate the masses. So thanks for that. There's a lot of new stuff coming out, you know, for lack of a better word, stuff. But AI bots happens to be one area. In the healthcare space, which we happen to be doing a lot of work in right now, the whole idea of an AI bot to enhance a chat, which is, believe it or not, in the healthcare space, new technology. It's been around for a while. We see it on retail websites all the time for a chat session. And up until recently, it's been an individual who is specialized in chat, who has 4 to 6 screens open at once, who's looking at multiple sessions, doing either a help desk function or some kind of other sales follow-up. And if you've ever experienced as an enterprise user, the delay factor, that's typically why that happens. So now this whole idea of AI chatbots to actually introduce the conversation. In fact, I just saw in the news, very interestingly, Google is actually coming out with a new technology called Duplex, which will actually help you through an AI interface make reservations for your local restaurant and actually have a conversation with an individual that you're going to make that reservation through. So yeah, so AI bots is definitely a huge area that's gaining traction in the market. It's being discussed in the contact center market at large. We're also seeing like speech analytics, text analytics, you know, as just was shared with some of the experts here from Vonage, being a very key area. So obviously, you know, speech analytics is that area where it takes your full-time call recording 24/7, pulls it into actually a reporting engine, okay, that will actually create reports around keywords, key phrases, and give feedback to the community or to the supervisor at large from that, you know, specific contact center group. So interestingly, again, up until recently, it's been about generating reports, but typically not in real time, which has just been shared with the group. So in the patient community, we want to avoid phrases like, we'll find another doctor, we'll go shopping, which again, speaking with our healthcare clients, which most of them have pretty basic contact center infrastructure, and the idea of introducing some of these new technologies is a big deal. And then lastly, this whole idea of big data is a very hot topic. I mean, again, using a healthcare example, we're finding that clients are not only looking at integration with their electronic health records systems, their own internal CRM systems, but healthcare providers are now actually looking and very interested in purchasing Salesforce as well as Microsoft Dynamics. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there. So I would ask our colleagues here over at Vonage, what are you seeing from your perspective? It obviously has nothing to do with healthcare. That was just strictly an example of what we're seeing very current. But what are you seeing from Vonage's point of view, and how are you addressing some of these new technologies?
Jim, we'll have you respond first.
Well, I think we're really only now beginning to see the rise of bots in the contact center. I think the increasing capabilities of artificial intelligence and machine learning are kind of combining to allow customers to really change the user experience in lots of ways. For example, Vonage just added an AI bot to our own Vonage Business Cloud mobile application. We call it V, and V can assist the user in both setting up their new service and providing real-time answers to common use questions. You know, how do I transfer a telephone call? How do I access help support? And that can all be done without any human interaction. These types of interactions really allow companies to kind of offload the more common contacts, the simple questions that can be easily answered by a bot, meaning that their agents then have more time to handle more complicated or intensive interactions. In fact, I think these bots are going to start to see their way inside the agent's workflow as well, either as an adjunct to a knowledge base or by carrying contextual information to the agent when the interaction becomes more than the AI can handle. So, for example, a contact might start with the AI in a chatbot and then be transferred to an agent and take all of the information and the chat transcript along with it to the agent so that they have all that information at their fingertips and can answer the call with real intelligence instead of starting the conversation completely over again. I think another game changer is the use of big data analytics in optimizing the customer experience. Companies now have huge amounts of data, both about their individual customers and about their customers in aggregate as a total group. And new tools make crunching that data easier and easier every day. Tying that data into the contact center, especially in real time through the use of real-time analytics, allows contact centers to dynamically address trends in contact flows, spin up new services on an as-needed basis, and be more proactive and aggressive in how they change their customer experience for the end user.
So let me ask you, just to respond to that, there's two things. So on the AI side, on the bot side, and this is always the start of any contact center, you have to have an SLA, right? And obviously with chats going on, and I've experienced chats as a customer myself, they can actually be frustrating and actually just have them make a phone call eventually and have a real-time conversation, because I find in many cases that speeds the process along better. So again, with that realization happening in the chat world, the idea of using a bot and having an instant response within seconds versus minutes in some cases definitely speeds up that customer or patient experience, for lack of a better word here. So thoughts around that?
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely agree with that, right? The key is a well-designed bot, and that's where a consultant can come into play, I think. Too many times technology just gets implemented for technology's sake. But when you are really tailoring the solution to meet the specific needs of the customer and thinking about that customer's client and the holistic approach to how that customer experience is enabled, then a tool like a bot can really help to increase and better the customer experience overall. If it's implemented poorly, then to your point, it can really be a detractor and pull away from that customer experience as a whole. And when you think about contact centers are the front line of your business. They're your first experience, or often maybe the only experience that a customer may have with an organization. So making sure that these technologies are implemented well and that you're working with companies who really understand what technologies like a contact center and advanced technologies like bots and analytics and those kinds of things can bring to the table is critical when you're moving your company into these newer technologies.
Absolutely. So around the big data piece, maybe we can just chat for a moment around, using the word chat, of course, But if we can maybe just chat for a moment around the idea of these big data being just such a key variable in terms of personalizing the customer experience. So, for example, I'm a Netflix buyer, right? I'm sure many of us here are in the room. And, it shows me that specific movies and series of TV shows are very specifically selected for Steve Layden personalized. And they're obviously looking at what I buy most often, what I'm watching most often, and therefore provides feedback and personalizes the experience. And I think that's one of the reasons, amongst others, why they are the king of streaming right now in the consumer market. So maybe you can give me an example or two of how maybe Vonage is delivering on that big data kind of idea around that would be more than just a standard out-of-the-box broad software and contact solution. How are you kind of customizing that experience?
I think the idea behind AI is to take the big out of big data. All of that data that's out there, we're trying to drive that down into more digestible chunks or consumable chunks of data that can create value for each of those end users. And that information flow that comes into an artificial intelligence becomes the catalyst for creating that customer experience. Now, when we talk about machine learning, so we kind of interchange those two, machine learning and AI. Machine learning is also this notion of we need to teach the machine, or we need to teach an artificial intelligence how to actually interact with the humans. So it doesn't necessarily eradicate the need for the humans in the contact center as much as it helps to aid the front end or the back end processing of those calls for those individuals. So one of the arenas, and the reason that Vonage acquired Nexmo was for the purpose of getting the building blocks or the API suite that we need in order to hook up to the AI. So Vonage isn't a business intelligence company in and of itself. We're not an artificial intelligence company. What we do is we allow the actual consumer to go and pick up the building blocks that we have to connect up to an AI or connect up to a machine learning engine or connect up to other APIs that allow you to drop the call data or the call transcripts and pull speech analytic information that would then drive that customer experience. So the idea behind the Nexmo platform that Vonage purchased is to build the API suite to allow you to connect up to those applications and pull the data from the contact center and make it usable with your artificial intelligence.
Just to reflect on that, I think that kind of gives Vonage an opportunity to introduce technologies that customers sooner or later are going to be looking for sure, because again, these new technologies are just coming out now. But yeah, I think you're primed for it, and kudos for introducing that through the Nexmo acquisition. So back to you, Jeff.
All right, thank you. Okay, our next question is going to be from Mr. Scott Sack. Scott, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I get very disappointed when I hear people say that contact centers are perceived today as a commodity. It's not good for my business. And in my practice, I attempt to communicate the value add of the contact center and how it can become a major differentiator against competition by driving customer loyalty and increased spend. My question is, what is the current value add, both overall and specific to size of business or vertical markets, that Vonage brings to the market that would drive my decision and help me consider and recommend Vonage contact center solutions to one of my clients?
We'll go ahead and have Jim respond first. Go ahead, Jim.
Sure. Well, thanks for the question. The perception of commoditization is really a double-edged sword. I mean, I think that contact centers can be broken down into two camps. A kind of basic contact center, that's usually really voice-centric and is really about reporting and maybe a little bit more intelligent routing than a simple hunt group. And then there are advanced contact centers where some of the features that I mentioned earlier, omni-channel routing, IVR capability, database dips, chatbots, those kinds of things, are really needed. And I think where the perception of commoditization comes in is with the smaller, more basic contact centers. But what we're seeing is a tremendous uptake in a much more solutions-based type sale with that larger, or I guess rather a more sophisticated advanced contact center buyer. In either case, though, I think the perception of commoditization is really a result of sales teams not properly educating their prospect. And this is another area where consultants can really play a key role. Once the client can clearly see how a well-designed contact center can increase top-line revenue, reduce their overall spend, and allow them to get a better yield for the same amount of people using these new tools, that commodity issue tends to fade into the background, I think.
Bilter?
Yeah, and along those same lines, I'll take it in. Jim did a great job of breaking down from the technology perspective that commoditization of, you know, anything that becomes a baseline against every other product that's out there, it becomes a commodity. One of the areas where I think we should pay attention is, well, there's two areas. While we see some of the base features of a contact center replicated, some of those differentiators break out into a camp of, can a customer provide the sales and support that I need? And so Jim touched upon the idea of salespeople not educating their customers. That piece of it is something that we're focusing a lot of resources on here at Vonage to make sure that we have the support resources and competent sales engineers, as you're seeing with Jim, to responsive salespeople who help guide the discussion in a way that drives credibility and greater understanding of how those products become an element of achieving that customer experience or customer goal. The other side of the coin, I think, is can you rely on the products that are being provided? So many providers today, I think, have skimped on the very essence of what a contact center is supposed to be, and it really is supposed to be a customer experience hub. And that's kind of morphed from what it has been in the past. We called it call center in the past, and now we call it contact center. And now we're kind of shifting away from even calling it contact center and calling it customer experience or customer experience hub. So a provider that isn't focused on a customer experience or a digital transformation is effectively, in my opinion, the reason why a contact center will continue to commoditize. And that real differentiation becomes the ability for a consultant to come in and help guide the business outcomes, guide the customer journey, and then we help to drive from a sales and support side those actionable insights and drive those business results for the customer. Let me take your customer experience hub concept and then a step further, because you know, we all believe in it. Sometimes it's hard to cost justify the concept of the customer experience hub. Have you come across or developed any financial models, any kind of ROI analysis that we can give to the finance people who must, you know, fund these projects to say, here is the value of a new solution, here is the return above and beyond just the reduction of customer effort and customer satisfaction? Is there something out there that you've used as a tool to help with your products? Absolutely. And one of the main differentiators, I would say, of a sales cycle on our end is the idea that we come in with that perspective in mind. We have a few different tools, not necessarily published out into the market, although I think that's something that would be very valuable for the consultant arena, is giving you some of those tools to work with your customers. But as it stands today, we help to walk through the process of building a cost justification, building a return on investment justification for each of the customers that are looking to implement the products that we sell. So that piece of it becomes really part of our sales cycle when a consultant engages us. And some customers are hesitant to do it, and I think that's where the consultant community can help, is let's really make that actual justification something that we focus on instead of just going in and focusing on features and functions. It actually becomes a level up to the business and drives much greater business outcomes that you're looking for with your customer.
That's great. If you can share that with the consultant community, again, that's a valuable tool. But that's always the bottom line question we get, that everyone believes in the customer experience, but they want to see, you know, what's it going to cost and what's a potential return financially. Thanks.
Yeah, and I think one other thing I'll just point out is simplicity rules when it comes to any of those justifications. A lot of customers don't want to have to go through a really arduous process to figure out how to make a justification for products that are going to help their customer experience. So as much as we can simplify that, the better off we are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think another thing to keep in mind, too, is a lot of times when you're talking about a customer experience ROI model, you're talking about soft costs. And people get a little bit, defensive or worried about justifying a solution through soft costs. So often I think it's really critical when you're doing that kind of ROI business analysis to make sure that you're using the customer's numbers wherever possible and that you're being as conservative as you possibly can. Let the customer take themselves there. But soft costs absolutely do add up. And really, a lack of sophistication in a contact center can end up costing a company money over the long haul. So I think you get away from that commodity sale that we talked about earlier when you focus on mission-critical and customer-facing applications. And again, an ROI is a key differentiator or a key tool in the sales process to help drive that message forward.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Our fourth and final question is from Mr. Steve Layden. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, I just want to, if it's okay, just kind of dovetail and add a footnote into the ROI components. ROI is always an important part of every engagement that we're involved with. And typically, again, using healthcare as an example, it just happens to be one of the markets that we do work in. But specific to that, we had an experience recently where we had a large contact center customer with about 1,000 endpoints who really needed to cost justify the whole experience. And through some analysis that we did between optimizing a contact center, which we are beginning to do that as we also start to push out the entire contact center technology behind the scenes, there's a way to just introduce new call flows, new technology behind the scenes, like such as the AI bots that we shared a little bit earlier. And typically what happens is, in our experience, we can improve on staff sizing, okay, from an FTE model by 5%. And then in healthcare, again, specifically with all these mergers and acquisitions going on, there it comes a point where the customer says, geez, we need to centralize. And so when you start to look at centralizing billing, appointments, other kinds of functions, operators, et cetera, within those various contact centers, you can typically improve by another 5 to 7%. So with this particular customer, their initial rollout was 400 going to 1,000 agents. We found over $8 million in savings annually just through using FTE solutions and some other components. And then on top of that, what we did was we actually looked at what we would term as patient loss avoidance. And we looked at their abandoned call rates and looked to improve that down to low single digits and were able to actually present to upper management that they were losing in excess of $40 million annually because of lower SLAs. So therefore, if we're using technology as well as the measurements that we can use from a reporting point of view, you know, there's definitely a huge ROI out there. So my last question would be around CPaaS. We're talking about this word, customer experience. It's huge. Gartner Group, a couple of years ago, ran a survey that they said basically by what would be their respondents be by late 2017. And they ran a survey, and it showed that 89% of their customer respondents were going to be customer experience focused by the end of 2017. So it basically transitions our entire economy from just the profit and loss, if you will, now to look into the eyes of the consumer, of the customer that they serve, which could be B2B, of course, as well, and looking at how do we improve on that total customer experience. It's a huge factor. I actually call it the Amazon factor. I think Amazon, who is just totally customer obsessed, has created SLAs that are far reaching. We've come to expect, you know, Amazon Prime in 2 days, for example. We've come to expect a 9-second SLA on their video Mayday button on their Kindle Fire. So going back to CPaaS here, it's a real-time technology. It's obviously getting huge traction in the market. We're seeing several players out there. From my vantage point, how can you provide maybe, how is the CPaaS experience impacting the contact centers, and how can we leverage that as a tool in order to, again, address this customer experience kind of factor?
Excellent question. Jim, go ahead.
Absolutely. I think that Vonage is uniquely positioned. We're well ahead of the market when it comes to CPaaS. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that I joined the organization was because of the Nexmo acquisition and what I saw as the vision of the company moving forward. And as far as that vision, I think that's particularly true when we look at how Contact Center as a Service and CPaaS solutions integrate in with unified communications solutions inside the organization. Typically, the benefit of a UCaaS solution is about driving efficiencies inside the organization. In other words, between internal users, through technology like instant messaging, collaboration, and so on. But CPaaS and Contact Center as a Service are largely positioned, I think, to increase efficiencies for contacts to and from the organization. And CPaaS fits very, very cleanly into that. CPaaS kind of allows the business to build with just a few lines of code, kind of what we call microservices. And those microservices can then embed communications into really any and every customer touchpoint the customer might have, from their website to their social media to any apps that they might have deployed on Android or iOS devices, and anything they might develop in the future. So just a couple of lines of code, easy to add these microservices. And further, the microservices can gather information from those source touchpoints and carry them along the contact from touchpoint to touchpoint, so from the touchpoint to the core application at the center of the contact center where the agent is picking up that information. And we call that contextual communication. I mentioned that earlier. In other words, the context of all the previous interactions with the client, regardless of their source, are immediately available to the agent and become part of the overall metadata associated with the contact. That means they're reportable, they're actionable beyond just the initial conversation, and it kind of takes the idea of omnichannel to a whole new level. An example of that is we worked with a global airline company. And similar to what we did for the travel agency earlier, let's imagine for a second that I'm on their website for this airline and I'm booking a ticket to London. And for some reason, something goes wrong along the way. And I need to then escalate that conversation. Well, immediately I could engage with a chatbot who might be able to help me do that. But if I can't, then I can then escalate to voice, and all of that chat information, all of the website information that I've been using, and anything that I've done along the way comes along with me to the agent. So the agent can answer in a much more contextual way. Hi, Mr. Graham, I see you were trying to book a flight to London this coming Friday, and something went wrong. How can I help you? That's a much better experience than having to go through and repeat all of the same information that you've delivered in any other touch points you might have had. So again, it sort of takes that whole customer experience to a new level.
So, you know, that's a very interesting comment, because at first when people hear that, it's like, oh my gosh, you're invading my privacy. You know way too much about me. But I got to tell you, I'm a Delta Platinum member. No plug for Delta here per se. But interestingly, I'm on a special contact center line that the IVR specialist, which is, again, Mr. Robot, let's call him, but he consistently says every time before I even get in front of an agent, says, "Welcome back, Steven." And I can't tell you how huge that is in terms of personalizing the experience. It just takes it from, oh yeah, I'm in a contact center talking to an agent, to, wow, they really want to take care of me. So something as simple as just saying my name, to your exact point, knowing a lot more about the experience, wow, I think it's just going to change that whole customer experience model big time. And interestingly, I forgot to mention, there's a couple of stats that I pulled out earlier before the call, but, CPaaS by 2021 is expected to grow to $15 billion, according to Statista, and contact center market alone is going to be $407 billion by 2022, which will be about three times the size of just the UCaaS market. So obviously this whole idea around customer experience is just, if your enterprise is not engaged in contact center to at least some degree or actually considering it, it's got to be a core part of any enterprise going forward, whether it be a touch point in an IT help desk or a front end from a marketing and sales point of view or for any kind of other back end function. But contact center is definitely part of that mix. Back to you, Jeff.
Yep, no, well put. Well put. Thank you. Coulter, you want to comment?
Yeah, and kind of to your point, Steve, I'd like to continue on that vein. The market continues to become more and more mobile. And we've all known this for a very long time. We all have devices in our hands that we carry around with us, and we have access to basically any application or any service that we typically use or used to use on a computer. So while these applications started with consumers, they continually trickle into the business use cases that we see, where consumers are kind of driving the behavior they expect from their favorite brands or their technology providers. And so a good example is, well, not a good example of security, but a good example of Facebook is they moved into the business space in driving their workplace application. And you know what? The interesting part about it is that that's largely driven by the end user community that they're morphing into that commercial side. So they're moving and embedding those communications inside of their applications, and adoption is so high because the common framework and the UI that they have are now the platform they allow to innovate on integrations with AI or chatbots or other embedded communications that we have, that we see with CPaaS as use cases. So interestingly, CPaaS kind of becomes the gateway to building the types of integrations that consumers are demanding more often in these ancillary areas, where communication is key to a product being adopted the way that they're looking for. So the value for an app provider, we've talked about Delta, we've talked about Facebook, and no plug for any of those, like we said, but really those application providers now create a better experience from the mobile device by captivating their audience where their audience is. So they're taking that communication to their audience. On the Delta example, I can click a button in my Delta app. It identifies my medallion membership level, and then it introduces the Mr. Robot that we talked about, introduces Mr. Robot and says, "Hey, Mr. Hammer, thanks for calling. We appreciate your business as a gold medallion." I'm not quite there yet, Steve. I'm a gold still. But but that communication mechanism is being pushed up into that embedded application and then pushed into the contact center, ultimately in getting me to an agent. So very interesting, and it's exciting to see what CPaaS is doing and how big it's going to be in the future.
Yeah. So, you know, to your exact point, we're always counseling clients that in this early adopter stage, possibly hype cycle as well, that if you don't start at least looking at it, if not planning on it strategically over the next 24 to 48 months within your own organization, or at least, you know, considering it, by the time 36 months rolls around, the entire market will already have been matured. It's now mainstream, and you're behind because you haven't even touched it yet. So I think this is a huge opportunity for everybody listening here, the consultant community as well as the enterprise community, that I think these new technologies such as CPaaS, who are gaining ground and stretching beyond the traditional Uber-only experience or Domino's pizza experience, that, you know, that again, it gives a real-time experience to improve on that customer experience. Yeah, excellent points. Thanks.
Exactly. You know, I just thought of a quick follow-up to that. You know, we talked a little bit about microservices earlier, and you just a moment ago talked about being on the front edge. One of the key drivers of a contact center, in my opinion, should be allowing the company to meet the consumer using the technology and channel of their choice. So, for example, I am still a telephone user, but people who are 10, 15 years younger than me are now the sort of digital native group who would prefer a chat interaction before they would ever go to the phone. And we're now starting to see chat even move away from chat and into social media apps like WhatsApp or Facebook we just spoke about, right? So these microservices allow us to replicate code across all of those different channels, and you don't have to worry about not being able to integrate a particular channel later on because the technology is already there.
Correct. Excellent.
Great. Thank you. Okay, we'd like to maybe see if we could get some key takeaway or insights from each of you, Scott and Steve. Scott, maybe we could start with you.
Sure, thanks. I have two major takeaways from this. Is, you know, the first one is that, you know, customers do all have different needs, and it's great to see that vendors such as Vonage are realizing that no single solution is appropriate for each customer, and that there are, you know, very different price-effective solutions out there, and that they can be, you know, provided to different customer bases depending on their needs, both from a functionality standpoint and from a financial perspective. And the second one is the realization that organizations are becoming more and more interested in advanced technologies such as AI and advanced analytics. And for vendors to succeed in this space, that they must, you know, continue to offer these leading-edge technology solutions and keep on, you know, asking the customers what else they want for within their customer service platform that will both enhance the customer experience while providing a positive ROI to the organization.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Steve?
Sure, thanks, Jeff. So kind of just to sum it up, as Scott was just sharing, some of these new technologies that we've been discussing here on this call today between AI bots, big data, CPaaS, et cetera, are obviously new entrees, for lack of a better word, within the last, you know, 24 months really, you know, and now being integrated into the contact center. And of course, we've been talking about contact center, omni-channel, multi-channel forever now, right? Close to 10 years. And finally, the idea of voice, chat, video, email, faxing, of course, which is almost dead at this point, but as well as social media integration are all part of that customer experience now into the contact center. And so when we go and discuss with clients any of those, what I would call now mainstream channels, no one is resistant to it any longer. Why? Because they're seeing it. It's in our face every day, whether it's on a mobile device, whether it's on a chat off of a retail site. And specific, for example, in healthcare, there's now legislation that allows for pre-op and post-op and other means of telemedicine to do a video chat with your patient, and the physicians now get reimbursed by the insurance companies and Medicare and Medicaid. So the fact that there's new legislation, the fact that there's new dollars available to reimburse physicians and to actually give the patient that experience where they can actually have that pre-op or post-op from their home rather than having to drive all the way into the physician's office is really here. So I think at the end of the day, of course, technology for the sake of technology is, you know, is useless, if you will. But if you marry this technology back to the customer experience and use words with your customers, with your clients, with the customer's customers even, around solutions, outcomes, SLAs, integrations, KPIs, competitive edge, applications, ROI, tools, which obviously become all of the drivers, you know, for the subset called technology for using it, I think we're going to see a lot of customers adopting. And of course, you know, this, we haven't even spoken about this, but, you know, the idea around cloud is very compelling for multiple areas. But, you know, we've had experiences with the cloud where you can deploy a cloud solution in a matter of weeks, where it would take months to do something on the capital side alone. So that's obviously another topic for another time. But, yeah, it's just a very interesting time to see what is going on and the trends that are taking place. And at the end of the day, it's all about embracing these new technologies as consultants and adding value to those customers out there to show our value as consultants. So again, I think that we've hit on a lot of talking points today, Jeff and team. And again, thank you for hosting this. And I think it's been really good and very enlightening, not just for those that are listening, but for myself as well. Thank you.
Yeah, no, excellent. Thank you, Steve. And, you know, I would just wrap up here by saying that the pace of innovation that we're seeing within this contact center space, I don't think has ever been faster than what we're seeing today. And not only innovation, but the adoption. You know, I was recently at a Fortune 100 company who actually manages a 25,000 seat contact center. And the CTO started the meeting with us by saying, listen, we assume that moving our contact center to the cloud is going to provide more products and feature sets than what we currently have with our on-premise, but we need you to help take us there and walk us through that and prove that out. We assume that moving our contact center to the cloud is going to drive efficiencies within our workforce, but we need you to help take us there and show us how that works. We assume that moving our contact center to the cloud is going to provide cost savings and help drive more productivity for our company and save money for our company, but we need you to help take us there and show us, prove these models out. And it really spoke to me that this space has moved from the traditional, as we've said on this call center to contact center to customer experience hub, and there's so much innovation happening that customers really need to be guided. They need to be shown, here's what you have, here's what your customers' needs are. Hey, by the way, did you know that these are additional features and services and technologies that are available that could help differentiate you and improve your customer experience? Let's explore these further and see how these could work for your business. So I think it's more important now than ever to partner with good consulting firms who are living every day within this contact center space and are bringing solutions to market with providers such as Vonage. So I want to thank Mr. Steve Layden of Layden Associates, Mr. Scott Sachs from SJS Solutions. I want to thank Coulter Hammer and Jim Graham from Vonage, and thank you for taking the time to listen to our Contact Center podcast. As we post this podcast, we will include links for more information and how to reach out and make contact with us. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.